This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. We are just a couple days away from Texans and Packers. Game that's got a lot of juice on Sunday. It's going to be right here on Sports Radio 610, starting at 9 a.m. with Texans Countdown, noon kick. Seth and I have you for Texans Countdown, and we've got you for the next 4 hours here this morning. Good to be with you. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. It's dawning on me that it is Thursday, and it's time to really start fostering a hatred for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard sometimes with these NFC North teams. You know, Minnesota, it feels like a strange and exotic land that you're barely even aware that. I don't even know if it's part of the contiguous United States or not, or if it's like Alaska.
We annexed it in. Yeah.
Wisconsin, I know a little bit just because from watching Making a Murderer. But other than that, kind of distant and far off.
Yeah.
Not typically. You only see them every few years.
And where are you at with the Lions? Did we get them in a few weeks? How are you feeling about them?
Lions, I'm still protesting the fact that they're in the Eastern time zone. Even just that, because
weird.
That always screws me up. It doesn't make any sense that Detroit seems like the most Midwestern of all Midwestern.
It's an odd thing to get worked up over, but I can feel you on that one. Yeah.
It really pisses me off whenever I fly through Detroit. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what the hell? No, this is a central time zone city.
Feels like it. Yeah. What about Chicago? What about the Bears? We've already had to play them, but they're probably the most hated out of all those people up there, I would say, of those teams, right?
Yeah.
The Bears?
Yeah, they're the ones that, plus, not to mention, I get that one of their hot dog joints is going to open up a restaurant.
Portillo's. Yeah.
What is it called? Portillo's?
Portillo's. And they have Italian beef sandwiches that are excellent. Yeah.
They do?
Yes. You know,
where are they opening? I just saw the headline in the Chronicle.
Places like this, I don't know. It's a good question. They usually start out in the suburbs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they plunk, because Chicago, they tried doing Gino's East here several years ago, their big pizza joint up there, and it didn't work. But they plunked it down in the Woodlands. Like the other Midwestern eatery that you can find here in Houston, but up in the Woodlands, is Culver's. Have you ever had Culver's? It's like a burger. It's not fast food, but it's kind of in between.
No, they've got frozen custard.
Yeah, the custard is good.
Awesome.
Yeah. But they're in the Woodlands, so I don't know. I would imagine somewhere out in the burbs, but Portillo's is very good. The Italian beef sandwiches are excellent.
I think there's a few Culver's, actually, because I got excited when I saw them because of the frozen custard.
Yeah, the custard and the cheese curds. Those are the big things. And the butter burger. That's what Culver's is known for.
So the hatred for the Packers, it's hard to... I don't have any hatred for Jordan Love. Has he ever said anything that I should get offended by or anything?
No.
I'm going to dig into his politics.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. No. Jair Alexander, I think, is probably the most one. Like he's had sound bites through the years and everything, just never directed at the Texans. So
boy,
I'll try to maybe come up with a reel of things to get worked up over Jair Alexander.
Yeah, you're making it. Thursday is usually the day that I go into the laboratory and come up with five reasons I hate you. And typically, like last week, it was very easy. It's the Patriots. Took 5 minutes. All I had to do was just go through my own Rolodex in my brain, and we were good to go. You're right. This is going to be Packers, five reasons I hate the Packers. If people want to help out with that on the text page this morning, I'm here for it. The less work I need to do, the better. So 713-572-4610. But good point, Seth. We got to get some hatred worked up over the Green Bay Packers over these next 2 days.
Feels like Xavier McKinney had a run-in with a Texan at some point. It was in one of his previous stops. I'm not sure, but he's got five interceptions on the year so
far. I hate
far.
Him for that, because CJ's had a... By CJ's standards, he's had a bit of an interception problem this year.
Yeah, CJ flat out said he's been kind of sloppy this year with the ball security. And going into this game versus the Packers lead the NFL in takeaways.
Yeah.
And they take – I was kind of astounded. I had to, you know how I am with statistics, Sean. I had to triple-check myself on this
yeah.
morning.
And?
So far this season, basically one out of every four drives, the Packers take the ball away from the offense. 24.1% of the time, the offense ends their drive in a turnover.
Not gonna lie, that sounds like quite a lot, Seth.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's like three a game or so.
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts. So I think I'm glad that CJ is crushing himself and saying he's been sloppy with the football this year, because this is a week that you really need to focus against.
That was funny yesterday. I heard the same thing you did. We'll have some CJ later on in the show, but it was funny because the way the question was framed, I don't know who asked it, the way the question was framed was like positioning it like CJ's been really good with ball security and protecting the football.
How are you so awesome?
Yeah.
It was, hey, how are you so awesome at not turning the ball over?
And I'm
kind of sloppy.
Right. Well, when the question was asked, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know who asked that, but by CJ's standards, he's not been good protecting. Like, the standard for CJ that he set in his rookie year was historically good at protecting the football.
Yeah.
He's turned the ball. He's got four interceptions this year, and he had a fumble, which the fumble may, you know, I don't think he's getting blamed for that fumble, but it goes on his ticket. And I was proud of CJ that he acknowledged that he actually hadn't been that great protecting the football of late.
Right, and even the Dalton Schultz one, which seems to be the biggest debate thing on social media right now about whether or not it was Dalton Schultz's fault
for not
competing for the ball more. I mean, the guy, I have a hard time. That's one of those situations where I feel like, all right, you definitely could have been more competitive there, but it wasn't like it was a bad play by Dalton Schultz. Yeah. It was while throwing under duress, it wasn't a perfect pass by CJ, mm-hmm. more than anything. And that's what yielded the turnover.
Yes.
You could say Dalton Schultz should have had a chance at plucking it out of the air or whatever, but that ultimately was just, that one was on CJ. So we've seen more of that this year as teams have, they've made it more difficult to operate, and I think he talked about it, just, you know, finding that balance between taking chances, but also taking care of the football, and it's been a lot harder this year.
I am nervous about the injury report yesterday. We'll see what it looks like today, but no Azeez Al-Shaair yesterday, no Henry Toa, he's in concussion protocol. No Foley Fatakasi, that was one that popped up. We'll see if that, you know, again, it's Wednesday, so, like, for example, Laramie last week didn't practice on Wednesday. He was full go on Thursday just because he's nursing an ankle. Laramie was full go yesterday, so that was good to see. But the other big ones are Robert Woods, and the really big ones are Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter. So half of your secondary is probably going to miss. And the reports on Lassiter and Ward are they're going to miss this game. Those are the reports out
there.
They're out.
Yeah.
So you got half your secondaries out. I think even more importantly, these top two linebackers. Like, is there a chance? I mean, I guess there is. That we're going into this Green Bay game with Green Bay having all these weapons. They got three tight ends that can hurt you. They got multiple wide receivers that can spread you out. That the linebackers you're going into this game with could be Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen.
And it's a lot harder to cover them up and protect them in coverage when you're down in your defensive backfield as well.
Correct, yeah.
So that's the – and in the last couple of weeks versus the Bills and the Patriots, the wide receiving corps weren't as complete and deep as they are for the Packers.
That's right.
Packers, it's not like there's a superstar necessarily, but I'd say it's a better overall and more threatening group of wide
Deeper
receivers.
Deeper, for sure.
And,
yeah.
And with a quarterback in Jordan Love who's better than, certainly not better than Josh Allen, but better than Drake May, the rookie.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so I think did you put this in here or did I put this in here? This cut from the D'Amico Ryan's coaches show.
I put that in there, man.
Okay. I was just making sure. There's, you know, sometimes things pop up. Did I put this in here last night?
That's all right.
You want to set this bad boy up here?
This is D'Amico asked about how do you practice when so many guys are banged up and injured. I found this, from a former player's perspective, I found this interesting.
For me, I adjust on a weekly basis off of, like, how was the game, the past game that we played, or how many guys we have were sore or beat up. So right now our practice structure will change a little bit where we're doing more walkthrough type practice on Wednesday to let guys get themselves back, and the guys who would be out, you allow them to still go out and get some mental reps because it's walkthrough and it's not a fast-paced tempo. Thursday is work day. We're going to put the pads on. You got to put the work in, so that'll be that day. And then Friday, we pull back on the guys as well. We do one full-speed period, and then we'll have a jog through for the last three periods of practice. So making sure at this point in the season, you just make sure, I know our guys know how to play. Like, and that was a big thing for me last year, teaching guys how to practice, how to work, like okay, what's our swarm mentality, how the Texans play football. Our guys, they rep our style on game day. So for me, it's a matter of not just trying to teach that or get that during the week, but can our guys show up fresh and ready to go on Sunday so they can rep Texan brand of football?
So this is the time of year when, I think it's earlier than it used to be when you start doing these kinds of modified practice schedules. And this, it really tests the veteran presence on your team, because it's really hard for young guys to sometimes focus and pay attention when there's no physicality in practice.
Yeah.
So this is where the veteran leadership really, really matters, is still paying attention to detail. And it is, it gets to a point where you're kind of, if you are healthy, you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm doing it. I don't feel like I'm getting enough work here.
I feel like I'm being given a day off.
For guys that like to practice and feel like you're getting better during the week and seeing things at speed, it's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because you do, you're getting mental reps and everything, which are great and awesome, but it's never quite the same as the real thing. And that is where the veterans really got to keep after the younger guys. They're like, hey, all right, like be sure you're paying attention, thinking about this, going through. You got to get 10 mental reps to replace one physical rep.
Yeah.
And it's, I as a fan, I get nervous now too. They're not... You got to work them harder,
well,
D'Amico. These guys are going to get soft. That's how I feel.
I love your perspective on it as a former player. He had a really interesting answer that we'll get to. We'll get to it in the next segment, just because it's like a minute long. But I found it interesting because I always wonder this too. I'm like, how do you get better at tackling during the season? How do guys get better at tackling, period?
Yeah.
Because guys don't truly tackle anymore. They just, one day a week, they put pads on and they thud. And D'Amico had a really interesting answer that made me feel a whole lot better about it yesterday.
Oh, good. I never know if that stuff's interesting or not.
It's interesting to me. No, I don't know.
It's interesting to me. I never know if it's interesting to other people, because I could do a one-hour clinic on in-season tackling practice.
You know the answer. You heard his You know the answer
I'm talking about yesterday?
Okay, I thought it was really interesting. So we'll get to that in the next segment. We'll dig in on the Packers as we go along here. 9 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by Marcus Eversole, who is in Afternoon Drive on 107.5 The Fan up in Green Bay. I was on his show yesterday, so doing a little home and home. We'll get a Packers perspective on things, get to know the opponent a little bit later on in the show at 9 o'clock. Will Anderson, he won some hardware yesterday. Defensive Player of the Week means he got to wear the chain that apparently Nick Caserio is not a very big fan of. We'll have a little good Caserio audio from yesterday. He joined us on the show, and we'll hear from Will Anderson, his thoughts on winning Defensive Player of the Week. That's coming up next.